Welcome to episode 86 of the Bull and Hawk Sports Show. I am CJ Hawk, joined by, as always, my co-host, GG Benny the Bull.
Hey, hey, how's it going? We are live on Twitch as well. Hope to get some feedback from our fans, friends, and fellow community. So let's get to it. We are at 86 and we have a few things to cover today, such as our usual
suspects. Beginning with the Chicago Red Stars versus New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. This was a playoff match from November 7th at SeatGeek Stadium. And we actually attended this one in person.
Yes, we did. And it was promoted as Carly Lloyd's
final match
ever. You know, if she and the Gotham FC do not continue, then it would be her last game ever. So it was one, you know, part of her farewell tour, and it wasn't the main thing, but it was on our minds as and everyone else's as
we were
going forward. And I gotta say, they didn't make it too big, you know, towards the end of it, but
no,
you know, which makes me think, you know, this is not really the end. Maybe this is, you know, for now, she'll make a comeback, like some of these other athletes had before.
Yeah, I don't want to make a gripe, but I felt that the SeatGeek Stadium staff didn't do a good enough job at the end when Carly Lloyd, her farewell tour, they were eliminated. Gotham was. I felt like they could have done maybe a better job to like congratulate her.
Yeah, besides displaying, you know, what the obvious on the graphic on the
Thank you, Carly. Yeah.
Yeah. And made, you know, made an announcement and have her get on the mic at least.
Yeah.
I do understand that she did get sort of that, you know, at home.
Right. In New Jersey, maybe it was a lot bigger.
Was it Audi Field? But yeah, they, I believe that's different. But yeah, they did
Red Bull
it for
Arena.
That Red Bull Arena, and as well as, you know, that was a special day. And also for the USWNT, her last game with that.
Right.
I saw quite a few posts with, her posing with Lindsey Horan. So that was a nice comedic, way, but, it coincided with, you know, her farewell tour. So she has had that, you know, celebration so far, but yeah, Red Sox could have done a better job as a club to celebrate her and have her get on there as one of your, you know, soldiers, if you will.
Yeah, and this was my first time seeing Carly Lloyd play and probably her final game, so I mean, that's cool.
That was cool, yeah, going into this. We were a party of three.
Yeah, my sister went with us. She's a big Red Stars fan. She's been to multiple games with us. And
yeah, we look forward to going to more next season.
For sure.
For sure. Possibly, you know, consider season tickets. You know, they do say
possibly
we save more for doing that, or at least get like a flex a deal or whatnot, where we definitely be attending more, you know, from beginning.
And also, fun fact, we actually sat in the first row at this game.
Yeah, first time
closest
ever.
I've ever sat at a sporting event ever.
Closest this season for me. I've done so multiple times, but, you know, props
not
to,
this year.
To CJ Hawk for finding those front row seats. You know, it...
Get a good price.
Ironically, for playoffs, semis, whatever, playoffs, it is easier in the game of women's soccer to find it, as you do want to fill it up at the same time. Usually it's very few, it's the prices could be up, or that could be the first thing that everyone looks for, but we're able to get it this time, and they want to bring everyone closer. So
and this was the biggest crowd they've had this year too. More than 7,000 fans showed up.
Yes. Yeah, that's about half of the attendance record that was at the Red Stars versus North Carolina Courage match back in summer 2000, 19 when that was my very first ever match live, and that was the World Cup comeback. So that had over 14,000. So that's very good.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the game with the lineups. And do you want Gotham or Red Stars? Which one do you want to talk announce?
I'll take Gotham this time.
Okay.
All right. So first, their main person, their MVP, we can pass to say, throughout this season at goal, Kaylin Sheridan.
Canadian women's team.
Yeah, that's right. And onto the defenders. First, Imani Dorsey, Estelle Johnson, Gina Lewandowski, Caprice Tedesco.
She won, actually, was named the 2021 Defender of the Year in the WSL.
And it being, yep. And onto the midfield, we have Allie Long and McCall Zerboni. They are stacked with them two alone. And then your attackers, attacking midfielders, Afioma Adamanu, Margaret Midge Purse, Naomi Kawasumi, and franchise player, U.S. Women's National Team legend, and who we said we'd be honoring as a whole in this matchup, the GOAT, number 10, Carly Lloyd. Yep, that rounds out, and she is your main attacker, striker.
Now for the Red Stars.
Forward. As we move forward.
In goal, we have Cassie Miller, who's done an admirable job taking over for Alyssa Nair lately, and she's gotten us to the final, so we'll talk about that later. But now defense, we have Aaron Wright, Taryn Davidson. She was runner-up in Defender of the Year. She played every single minute for the Red Stars. Iron Woman, easy one of my favorite players on the team now.
Chicago Strong.
Legend here, Sarah Gordon.
Woo-woo.
And now finally in defense, we have rookie. She was in a rookie year running. That is Tatum Milazzo.
Yes, that's right. And we've sat by like the family members of her before.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. You know, it makes her sound like she's, I believe she is a local player.
I think so.
Come out to support.
Yeah. Midfield, we have Vanessa DiBernardo, Morgan Bryan, and Sarah Big Shot Woldmo.
That's right, and that is not a overstatement.
And finally, attackers, forwards, we have
plenty.
Rachel Hill, Kalia Ohai Watt, and finally, Mallory Pugh.
Couldn't quite get a nickname up for her, huh?
No, I was trying to think of one. Like, what could we do for her? But I mean, she's great, but I don't know, like, what else.
That's right. Yeah, and I mentioned off air that Sarah Walmart was, you know, to be one of the best for us, and she wasn't hyped up as much, but she was,
no.
Ironically speaking, the lady for what's now known as Gotham, Sky Blue FC at the time, right next to, you can say above or below, Carly Lloyd. But since she's a midfielder, you know, she doesn't necessarily always get the love. But Carly Lloyd is the one. You're forward, so naturally she gets that.
So this game was pretty much equal footing, equal performances both sides. It was rather dull on the scheme of things. Like, this wasn't a game where it was 100 shots on target. It wasn't couldn't stop scoring. Like,
somewhere in the middle.
It wasn't that kind of performance. But both sides fought hard, tried hard, and at half it was 0-0, and that was where we wanted it for the Red Stars. We wanted it to be a low scoring affair because we do well at those.
That's true. Yeah, and that's where the defense comes in. Excellent. Just keeping got them at bay. I know it can be tough for them to do it. They do have quite a bit of amazing defenders themselves. On top of that, a really good attacking midfield on top of their star players as well, as we know already, Goat herself was playing there after all. So, but I will say the one thing that we noticed was that we didn't quite notice that Carly Lloyd was there at times because
She kind of disappeared.
Yeah, in a way. It's not that she subbed out, but like she didn't really play as much
imprint.
A factor or imprint on this game for some reason. Not that she didn't at all, but not as much as we're used to, I guess.
Right, but she wasn't the only one. Ms. Persk was neutralized as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And at half, 0-0. And I guess we can move to the 61st. This was unbelievable. The Red Stars had some opportunities. And finally, a big mistake by Kaylin Sheridan, her only mistake of the match. But she tried to clear a shot on target. And she, instead of kicking it deep, she threw it. And it was able to be stolen by the Red Stars. And Sarah Wilmo got it to Mallory Pugh. Great shot past Karen Sheridan. 1-0 Red Stars. Game winner. Biggest shot of the season for the Red Stars so far.
Yes, you could say that again.
And how good our defense looked, that was all we needed. And it was. We won that score. 1-0. And the Red Stars, overall, didn't look unbelievable. But we got the one goal we needed. And goalkeeping was excellent, and defense was excellent. So the lack of scoring, oh well, we won. So I don't really care. It was 1-0, 5-0, we won.
That's right. Yeah, we neutralized
Gotham. And I actually thought we'd beat Gotham before the match, so I was proven correct. But
I mean, it was very close to being, you know, no, all the way.
Right.
Close to getting to PKs, which we would have minded, but that would get us nervous. And
not be nervous,
lose,
yeah.
And like technicality wouldn't be as fun, but it would have been very exciting in a way,
yeah,
too. So, you know, we got what we wanted, which was to enter the finals once again. But before that, we had to go through the next game or two. But first, without getting carried away, we have a stat sheet. Let's take a look at that, because to give you guys a vision of what happened.
The shots were very close, 9-7. Shots on goal, 3-2. Red Stars, shots blocked, 3-2. Corners is where we dominated. 6 corners, they only had 1.
That's right.
And yellow cards, 3-2. They had more than us. And one thing that we were dominated in possession and passes and passing accuracy, they dominated all of those, but it didn't matter. We still won. And saves was 2-2. It was tied Sheridan and Miller. And one thing in soccer especially is that people can be like, well, possession, if the team has more passes, automatically that means W. No, not necessarily. I've watched plenty of games where the one team had 60% possession, our team only 40%, and the 40% team won. So I think it really matters. It matters to an extent, but not like, it's not be all end all.
Exactly. It's down to the attackers to decide that, you know, the big.
Yeah.
For the passing, that's really down to the midfield, really mainly. So they can, obviously they're at the center in soccer, so like they are the ones who are doing a lot of the passing, which you know, can either 50-50 could result in a goal. So there's your breakdown right there.
Yeah.
What that's supposed to mean. And for us, yes, got them. Right? Is that correct? They had more.
They dominated, but we won anyway.
But they kind of disappeared into thin air by some of our defenders doing well against them.
1-0 win. Now let's move on to the next match. The Red Stars advanced to the semifinals of NWSL.
That's right.
This one was against Portland Thorns FC. And this game was in Portland at Providence Park, Portland, Oregon. DJ Benny the Bull and I went to a bar, sports bar, yeah, in Wicker Park to watch the game.
The name of it is Fat Poor Tavern.
That's right. And we had a good time there. We had our personal TV, and the staff was nice. The food was good. They had good Korean barbecue wings there. And
yeah.
We had a good time. Recommend going there.
We do Korean barbecue flavored, at least. The wings was delicioso. So that made for it. Thanks to CJ Huck.
It was by accident. I was on like Instagram and it said go there to watch the Red Stars game. I was like, oh, so then we went.
Yeah, that's right. It was by the seat of my pants.
Yeah, because I couldn't watch the game at home because I don't have that channel. Yeah. So I was like, oh.
Yeah, a lot, like many don't. there is a way to, you do get it. I don't believe it's going to be curious that way. But yeah. We reached the semifinals, and here we are again. Usually one of the most exciting games based on our last appearance, which is ironically against the Thorns FC. That was actually over here. I told you the story before, here at Toyota Park. And it was one of the most rowdy. I believe that time we had, we had to mention the noisemakers made it really rowdy for the game against Gotham. It's like a fan like instrument. You make noise with it, like almost as if it was like a game in Mexico, or overseas as well. So that was a cool part. Getting everyone like kind of clapping in unison, clapper. Technically called, was very powerful, and I'm sure we were here at home. We were trying to do that. I was saying that we could have took a peek up the second floor of Fat Four, but we didn't. But I believe this time next time we go, we will, which we will get to after this this recap, which is a big clue. But yeah, let's get to the lineups.
All right,
starting 11.
Yeah, do you want me to do Red Stars or you are?
Go ahead.
Okay. And goal, Cassie Miller. Defense, Aaron Wright, Taryn Davidson, Sarah Gordon, and Tatum Mazzo. Midfield, Sarah, Big Shot, Waldmo, Kalia. Wait, hold on. They screwed it up. So Sarah Waldmo, Vanessa DiBernardo, Rachel Hill, Danny Coprico got the start, which was awesome.
Finally.
So excited to see her start. Morgan Bryan. And finally, we had one attacker, which was Kalia Ojai Watt, who,
that's right,
sadly, later in this match, got hurt and had to leave. So she only played the first 29 minutes when the sixth woman came in, Katie Johnson, took over.
Yeah, not let you announce the lineup. That brings me back, and we also mentioned in the last game, we got a chance to meet a lot of the players.
Yeah.
Ones that we have, wouldn't say meet, but some that we met for the first time, and
autograph.
Also, got autographs more again. But also, some of our first times getting photos with them.
Sarah Gordon.
So majority of the ones you mentioned came up. With the exception of, I believe it was only, ironically, it was Kalia that didn't come up. So, otherwise the rest of the starting 11 did.
Well, some of these players we haven't met yet. I haven't met Taryn Davidson or
Vanessa
DiBernardo.
It's tougher to get her, I guess. But yeah, so on to the Portland Thorns FC. At goal, Bella Bixby. Defenders, Megan Klinenberg. Next, captain of the U.S. Women's National Team, currently, Becky Sauerbrunn, Emily Manges, Natalia Kuika. And then at midfield, we have Rocky Rodriguez, Angela Salem, and attackers, Yasmin Ryan, Christine Sinclair, Sophia Smith, and Morgan Weaver. I know would end at Christine Sinclair. She is the main attacking forward for them. Because if you notice, I didn't mention one of their star players, which is one of my faves, and Lindsay Horan. She is out for now. Actually, we found out afterwards why she was out, and it wasn't due to a major injury. It was like she had to recover from a very minor scare. It was actually an eye.
Oh, I saw that. It was like a practice, like an eye problem.
So the docs did recommend that she would not participate, risking, further like impairment. If she
to
get hit one more time, it would have really jeopardized her career, and on top of that, just like her vision. So she sat out because of that, and it wasn't for anything other huge reason, huge injury reason. So she and her team, one of the few times that she's out, so they had to make up. They do have a lot of star power too on top of that, so we had to go up against them. It was probably our toughest challenge up until that date. So, and they had the home field advantage on top of that too, so it's pretty scary. I know that Providence Park is one of the biggest. They hold the most fans, so that's another scary thing. But we ourselves are fierce. We go up against the biggest challenge, the top seed, if you will. So
yeah, Clea Watt got hurt, and when she got hurt, I was immediately like, oh no, our chances are even worse. But she always has been there for us off the bench. Katie Johnson.
That's right.
She came off
the bench,
and a few minutes after that, scored the first goal.
That's right.
To make it 1-0 Red Stars. We were going crazy at the bar.
Yeah, they're finally realizing how good she is and should have been starting.
She should have started.
And she has before, but I don't know why they took her out. So
sometimes Rachel Hill starts, sometimes Kate Johnson.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, CJ Hawk wasn't as excited, so he was like, all right, finally get the affirmation, so let's not get too excited yet. But we were excited nonetheless.
I mean, I was excited, but I didn't want to be like greedy or like it's over. Like, I don't want to do that. Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Ironically, you say that, but later on you weren't either.
Oh, well. I just was too nervous.
Yeah. I mean, once again, like, where they, you know, it's funny because in between this, they were playing the obvious, which was not the Chicago Bears. It was actually quite a bit split crowd. There were actually some Green Bay Packers fans.
Yeah, there was a lot of Packers.
Let alone those that were supporting / just watching the Green Bay Packers game. I was like, there's a Chicago team that's very successful right now and happens to be playing and further that you're not watching. So I was a little taken aback by that. But just to say that we're outnumbered in that crowd, but
a lot.
You know, so what they would have hurt us, probably not, but you know.
So we scored.
Good thing, though.
Katie Johnson, great shot. And a little bit after halftime, Sarah Big Shot Woldmo had an awesome right-footed shot past Belle Bigsby, assisted by Morgan Bryan.
That's right.
This was the death nail. This was nail in the coffin. The Portland Thorns energy was gone. The fans were like, oh!
Yeah, fell apart.
And it was over.
That's right. Yeah, Morgan, I gotta say one thing. Other Morgan, Morgan Weaver, was also not
good.
Too out.
She wasn't very good.
This time, Simone Charlie came in a little bit later on, which maybe they would have been better off if they...
I was disappointed in Morgan Weaver.
Yeah, that's right. And so, yeah, not being herself, I guess, this time. But our Morgan is spot on.
Good.
And she earned, not to get too far ahead, but she earned the Budweiser Player of the Match.
Yeah, well deserved.
Woman of the Match. Well deserved. Yeah, she was out there, like, you know, like a monster out there in defense and out the midfield, you know, just excellent passing. So, yeah, so another time that she, you know, she's not necessarily best in the world at attacking and making goals, you know, to the board, but she's amazing at what she does. So,
great game.
Yeah, amazing game. Some points getting us nervous, as we would have been anyway, but... Yeah, we were able to score twice on them. It ended with 2-0. So if you would have saw that coming, it would be no.
And we were actually dominated on the stat sheet in mostly all the stats, but we won anyway.
Yep, that's right. Actually, we, very much dominated possession.
Shots were dominated. Shots on goal dominated. Corners dominated, crosses dominated, but we won anyway.
That's right. And that is, as I hate to say this word, the E word is expected of the Thorns because of their gritty, almost Premier League roughness.
Yeah, I agree.
Their style of play is as expected. But we found a way to win, and this was not necessarily like seat of their pants day.
No.
We did dominate them in other ways.
It's not in the stats.
At us, but it doesn't on paper. It's not necessarily, but we found our ways, you know, through them. And again, props to our GK, Kessie Miller, for being excellent out there. She had some really tough shots that she had to
block,
and so she's a big factor as well.
And the Red Stars won 2-0. And they advanced to the NWSL 2021 final.
Once again.
To face
back to back.
The Washington Spirit. And this one, like Sandra Herrera said on Attacking Third podcast, no one expected it to be Washington Spirit, Chicago Red Stars, and I didn't expect it either. Even though, of course, I'm rooting for the Red Stars, I didn't expect them to make it.
Yeah, well, if anything, it would have been one or the other.
I wouldn't expect them both. I would have thought it would have been like the Ola Rain or the Portland Thorns against one of them.
Yeah, it's like, take a look at the stat sheets, the rankings. We were in the fourth seed, is that correct?
Yeah.
And then the Spirit were
third,
so we weren't necessarily top two, obviously, so it's tough to tell in that way. You cannot also say that, seeding very much matters. It's going to determine.
No, not really.
Not in this league, at least not yet.
So, not NWSL.
Yeah. They're going to need a few more teams, which will come, you know, in the next year to really start really thinking of that. But yeah, that's not always the case. And look at the fellow finalists, the championship holding, very successful Chicago Sky.
Yeah.
You know, we were victorious despite being what we ended up being the sixth seed.
Yeah, we were in a close.
Yeah, we were like, you know, close to the
bottom.
The you know, middle to bottom, right? So, like, you know, things, you know, dreams come true and, you know, just keep on going. And it's just amazing to see You know, the Red Stars grow and the league grow itself, and we're a big part of that now. Once again, entering the finals. So, if correct me, I did say back to back, but I believe last year was not the
Well,
case, right? With the Houston Dash winning
that was
what they
Challenge
faced.
Cup. So
Yeah.
we made a final, but not like the NWSL championship final. Because there was no regular season because of the COVID.
That's right. That's right.
But we made a final, so I'll count it.
Technically back to back as of
Back to back to back.
2019.
Because we made 2019 too, so.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so the final is on CBS proper, 11:10 local time in Louisville at Lynn Family Stadium, November 20th, which is Saturday, tomorrow.
About time we return on CBS
And
proper.
this one's going to be good. Trinity Rodman, Ashley Hatch, Aubrey Bledsoe facing off against Mallory Pugh, Cassie Miller,
That's right.
Morgan Bryan, Cleo Ahiwat,
Love that.
Sarah Wilbo, and more.
Yeah, well, hopefully Kayla
Hopefully,
is
Cleo
here.
Ahiwat.
But if not, we do have the news to break, right? We just kind of glanced over Mallory Pugh, but she has been cleared to
Yes,
come back.
Mal Pugh was cleared, so she will play in the final, according to a
Just,
Twitter source.
yeah, just women's sports,
And we
which,
trust them, so.
yeah, and they do a podcast too. If anything, we trust all of the women's
Yeah.
sports podcasts since they are very much in a niche. And they have everything. You can get them. They focus on the sports themselves. There's not so many teams, and so they really do their homework. And they're also verified too, so if you want to know that.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a good game. I mean, the Washington Spirits, Aubrey Bledsoe, the goalkeeper, was named the NWSL Goalkeeper of the Year, but I think the Red Stars can win this. I
They
think
can
that
win.
I know it's gonna be a good one. It's gonna be a tight affair, I think, but I think our experience in finals, I think some of our experience as a whole on this team is gonna carry us to the championship, and I'm gonna go with a close 2-1 Red Stars W.
Yes, I will also go with the same 2-1 for the Red Stars, and we really got to come together and rally for this victory, the players and the fans. I believe we got this time, and this is our year to win. We have like the pieces
It
too,
better be.
and yes, that's right. It better be, and we better not flop as a certain
Yeah.
someone does on purpose. But I know that we have that Chicago grit, and as much as we. As cool as Kansas City current sounds, we do have just a little bit more
Fire, fire.
right? So
Yes, so
all that
thank you
power.
for listening to our episode 86 Red Stars recaps. And hopefully, we're going to be talking to you next time about the celebration and how that's going to go down for the Red
Oh
Stars.
yeah, and once again, similar to the sky, that will be standalone. Its own has its own spotlights,
Right.
own episodes, so
Even if they
look for
lose, we'll
that.
still give it. But
Yeah.
if they win, definitely,
Oh,
definitely.
definitely. That's right.
All right. Stay tuned for more on episode 86 of the Bullhawk Sports Show.
Oh, who sent me a
We completed our Chicago Red Stars talk. Now we are going to talk a little bit about the Chicago Fire FC. And a little bit before we get to the news that I need to discuss about the Chicago Fire. Recently, the Chicago Fire let go of 9 players from the team. They have been no longer B members. Players such as Robert Berich, Avram Madron, Lucas Stojanovic, Bobby Shuttlesworth, and some more are left the team. So we kind of started a new era now in the
Can you
Fire.
say that again?
with Gaga, our new goalkeeper, who is 17 but more than earned his shot to be the new starting goalkeeper for the Fire. And we'll see what new players are brought in. But I'm confident, hopefully we can improve. And on the Intercontinental Podcast, which talks about the Fire with Arlo White and Tyler Terrans, the Chicago Fire's broadcaster, they are optimistic that the Fire can improve. So I'll be optimistic too. Hopefully we can improve. I mean, we can't be crappier than we were this year, to be honest. We were That's crap. Right. But hopefully we can better.
You said Robert Berich.
Gone, yeah.
Left as well. Made the decision. Bobby Shadow with, unfortunately.
Bobby, they actually wanted him back, but Bobby wants to be a starter, not a backup goalkeeper, so he decided to mutually agree to leave. Which is a bummer, but I understood, because Bobby's like 33 years old, so he wants to start. I understand that.
Oh, very true. Kind of see like the writing on the wall.
Yeah. In a way. And Robert Berich, I liked him, but he had his inconsistencies, and it wasn't like unbelievable.
We gotta be brutally honest on that.
Yeah.
As much as like him.
And now back to the news we want to discuss. The Chicago Fire.
Park the bus is signed.
Had, as you know, had fired Never coach mind. Wiki a while ago. And
that was a fake announcement.
We had our interim manager, Kloppas. Now we have a new manager signed from the Columbus Crew, Ezra Hendrickson.
That's right, Ezra.
And he is actually very experienced, which I like to see that. He's been coaching for over 20 years. He has been assistant coach for the Columbus Crew for many years. And he's well-respected according to MLS rumor mills and sites and experts. They say he's well-respected, well-liked by the players and management and the league. And he gets his first opportunity to be a manager in the MLS, which one point is not so good for me that he's making his first chance as a manager, but he's very experienced, well-liked, and he looks like a good choice, and I think he will be a good choice to be our new head coach.
That's right.
And a little bit about him. He's 49 years old. He's been around the MLS for over 20 years. He gets his first opportunity. And a Fire website that is a fan site says reaction has been very positive, but also a little bit reserved. Some are wondering why he's getting his first opportunity. Why the Fire giving a first-time coach, not a coach who's coached before, like a Bob Bradley, that type of coach. But let's be honest, Bob Bradley was never coming here. So Ezra Hendrickson, I think, is a good, safe bet. And he knows the league. He knows the players. And the Columbus Crew are going to miss him. They have tweeted out that they're going to miss him and good luck. So that means that they liked him and he was well liked there. So welcome to Chicago, Mr. Hendrickson. I'm excited to see what you can bring to our football club. Hopefully you can get us from the bottom dweller status, crap status, to making the playoffs maybe. That'd be really good. I'm not asking for a number one seed in the league, but I'm asking for at least, like, making the playoffs.
That's
which
right.
We haven't in forever.
A playoff team, and it looks like what, you know, us in Chicago sports are becoming, right? Like, we're on the verge of, you know, new beginnings here with success in other sports, and we're looking for that soccer one, and which could be coming sooner than many would think. So let's just hope for, you know, our MLS team that we could be that successful team and looked at as one of the upper echelon in Major League Soccer. I know it's been a little while since we've had that success, but with this, with how it's been running, but, you know, almost a completely new team now, and new experienced coach, because coming from the Crew success,
defending champions,
came from them, like we're able to get, you know, one of the best minds in the game right now. I would assume that he played as well.
He did. Yeah.
That's what it comes from.
Fun fact: he actually played with Jonathan Bornstein.
Oh right.
Long time ago, but that's crazy. This shows how long Jonathan Bornstein's been in the league.
I'm sure they're good friends then.
Yeah, they were briefly teammates at Chivas USA in 06.
Oh, okay.
And they also battled as well. But that's cool.
That is cool.
And Jonathan Bornstein, it looks like he's going to stay with us, thank goodness, because he's one of my favorites, so hopefully he stays. And we'll definitely keep you updated on any news. There is a new team joining the MLS, Charlotte. So they're going to have expansion draft. So we'll definitely let you know who from the Fire is picked up by Charlotte. And we'll let you know who the Fire get in transfer or free agency. And hopefully it can help us improve and make the playoffs this upcoming season. Or at least have a shot.
That's right.
And thank you for listening to this update on the Chicago Fire FC. Stay tuned for Bulls Talk next. This is CG Hawk of the Bullhawk Sports Show. I'm beginning this week's episode with a tribute to one of my favorite baseball players of all time, one of the greatest catchers in San Francisco Giants history and baseball history, a long and storied 12-year career with many highs and a few lows, overall fantastic moments from Buster Posey. Buster Posey is easily one of the best San Francisco Giants catchers. He had so many moments that can show why and how he was immensely successful. I don't know how he was able to guide the San Francisco Giants to multiple World Series titles. And we're going to talk a little bit about his career and some of the moments that stood out most to me and why he should go to the Hall of Fame. Buster was drafted in the 2008 MLB Draft, 5th overall, out of Florida State University. He's from Leesburg, Georgia. In 2009, in his first season in the minor leagues, he played on the San Jose Giants, 80 games, hit .326, 13 homers, 50 RBI. And this is fun for me. I was able to see him play a few games with the San Jose Giants. With my family, we got to see him hit, and of course, we had no idea that he would turn out to be as amazing as he is. And he was promoted to the major leagues in the end of 2009, in September. He got his first overall hit against the Dodgers in the 9th inning of a late September game. A little base hit single to load the bases. 2010 is where his career got going. He started out the season with the Giants coming up in May. He was named the 2010 National League Rookie of the Year. In 110 games, he hit .305 with 18 homers, 67 RBI. One of his huge moments in 2010 was when he had a huge hit in the final series of the regular season against the Padres, which changed the Giants' course for that season. The Giants were neck and neck with the Padres to win the division. And one less hit, one different moment, and we could be talking about the Padres as the 2010
National League West division champions. But Buster and the Giants got it done, won the National League West, made it to the National League playoffs. And one of the biggest moments in Buster's first playoff series and first game was in game one of the 2010 National League Division Series against the Atlanta Braves. Tim Lincecum, one of my favorite players of all time, threw a complete game shutout against the Braves. Buster caught that shutout. He helped guide Tim to the shutout, led them to a game one victory. Brilliant performance by Buster behind the plate, helping Tim and guiding him with the pitches called. Great postseason debut by the backstop. He also had key hits in that series as well, with the Giants beating the Braves in four games, advancing to the championship series against the Phillies. Giants, heavy underdogs, came away with the six-game win, advancing to the World Series where they easily dispatched the Texas Rangers in five games, including Buster had a huge home run in Game 4 of the World Series to help them win their first title. Amazing for the Giants. Buster and the rest of the ragtag crew won the title against all odds. And he was awarded with Rookie of the Year for his performance. Now in 2011, this is a huge moment in Buster's career. And he mentioned after his retirement a few days ago, this moment was one of the reasons why he decided to retire at the age of 32. It was on May 26, 2011. Buster was behind the plate and Scott Cousins of the then Florida Marlins wanted to collide Buster to get the ball out of his glove. This was before a rule was put into effect, after this moment actually. So Scott Cousins collided with Buster. Buster ended up having to miss the rest of the year due to the collision and the injury. And MLB decided to ban batters from runners trying to destroy the catchers at the plate. And in 2012, the next year, Buster came back better than ever. He was named the 2012 National League Comeback Player of the Year, the 2012 MVP, hitting .336, 24 homers, 103 RBI, the 2012 Hank Aaron Award winner, Silver Slugger. He also caught a huge moment in Giants history. Matt Cain's perfect game in 2012 versus the Houston Astros. This was the first perfect game in Giants history. And Matt Cain's perfect game, I've seen it who knows how many times, loads of times. When I used to live in California on NBC Bay Area, it was put on, I kid you not, it seemed like every day they were putting on Matt Cain's perfect game. So I've seen it at least three times. And Buster was amazing in that performance, helping Cain, and this great moment in his early career. Giants ended up winning the World Series 2012 with Buster's help. They beat multiple teams on the way to beating the Detroit Tigers in a sweep. Definitely some of the key factors in that performance were Buster, Pablo Sandoval, the Panda, and many more Giants, getting them second World Series title in a matter of 2 years. In 2013, he was named an All-Star. And in 2014, the Giants won the World Series again, with Buster became a Silver Slugger, his second one. And also, great performances by Buster to get them that title. I don't want to forget the year prior, Buster was named, got a no-hitter. He caught in 2013. He caught Tim Lincecum's first career no-hitter versus the Padres. This is one of my favorite moments in the past 10 years for the Giants. We actually have a plaque at my house of Tim Lincecum's no-hitter and the moments from it. That's great to reminisce about that no-hitter that Buster helped get done. And there's many more great moments, getting a grand slam in the 2012 NLDS versus Matt Latos of the Reds. Many all-star appearances, so 7 overall. 4 Silver Sluggers, Gold Glove in 2016. 1,500 hits, 158 home runs. 302 batting average, and just many more moments of Buster's storied career and why I think he deserves to go to the Hall of Fame. He did only play 12 seasons, and really only 10, due to missing 2011. In 2020, he took off due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But that said, he still had 1,500 hits, 7-time All-Star, many accolades, and just not even accolades, but overall, his performance is beyond discussion. And even if he does not make the Hall of Fame, he'll always be, to me, a great man, family man, well-spoken, no scandals. And he's the kind of guy that you want to name as a captain and represent your franchise in sports. And one final moment, he also did great work with his foundation for pediatric cancer, he and his wife, Christian. Buster had 4 children. And finally, that is the legacy of Buster Posey. And this was my tribute to him, and hopefully he's able to enjoy retirement. We'll see what he does in his retirement, if he works in baseball or he stays home with the family and involved with his children. We do not know yet. But thank you for listening to this tribute to Buster Posey.